Welcome, 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 everybody. And once again, welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with your bookman, L. Wonder. And this time we are featuring one of the most valuable people, one of the most important people, one of the most intelligent people that I know in my mother-in-law, Miss Tisha Hardy. And what we're going to be doing is she's going to be talking about excellence. What does it mean to have an excellence? We're going to be establishing a new foundation of what excellence means. So go ahead, sit back, relax, enjoy, get yourself comfortable as we start and enjoy this episode of Wonder Why with L. Wonder featuring Tisha Hardy talking about excellence, part one. And today we have a very, very, very exciting guest, a very special guest, a very dear guest to my heart. I want you to give it up to one of my favorite people in the world. She look, I love this woman because she gave me this, my beautiful wife. This is my mother-in-law. We call each other Meal and Seal. My mother-in-law. This is my mother-in-law. So give it up. Give a round of applause. Give a warm welcome to my mother-in-law, Miss Tisha Hardy.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm laughing at my son-in-law because we are the Meal and the Seal. But as he shared, I am Tisha Hardy. And he asked me to come on today and give a little brief bio about myself, which I don't normally do. But I've been in higher education for a little bit over 20 years. I've worked in the Postal Service. I've worked with public relations and marketing. And I have an MBA. Business has been my entire field. Aside from a little stint as a butcher, I used to cut a little meat up at Pick and Pay. A lot of you might be a little young. I don't know about no Pick and Pay, but
Pick and Pay. Don't know about that.
But I'm very excited that he asked me to come on today and be in this conversation with him, as well as anyone that's listening. And of course, the Happy New Year. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Elwanda.
So the reason why I really wanted you to come to on the show, Ma, is because, and just the FYI, when you hear me call her Mama T, that's what I call her, my Mama T. The reason why I really wanted you to come to on the show, because we go talk about something that is real near and dear to my heart. We go talk about something that's so important to me, and we had many conversations with about it. But we go talk about excellence. Okay. We go talk about excellence, and excellence is if many people don't know, I do have an HR consultant firm. I also help with writing resumes, and my company, my organization is called Excellence LLC. So excellence, and I feel so passionate about the level of excellence. So I just, because I think that that's what can excel. That's what's going to push us forward. That's what's going to get us to the next level. So I knew one thing I know about you is I know that, and me and you have had many conversations. I know that you had that same passion with excellence, that you have that same drive when it comes to, as a matter of fact, the stories that you've told me and we've talked about, it's kind of personifies, without you even explaining or defining it, it kind of personify the characteristics and traits of excellence. So with that being said, I do want to get started, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's, I just want you to know that that is what I see from you. Just the FYI, y'all, I've never really told, I don't know how much, I don't think I really told her this face to face, but this is, dude, right. It is what I see from her. I don't
and
think
you gonna make me cry. See, you tell me, you know, I'm a little sentimental.
I'm sorry about that, Mama. but if we can, I just want you to touch and kind of explain to people what you feel or how you can define excellence.
Okay, what I'm about to share is my own personal view or definition of excellence. I'm not overly religious, but I am a Christian woman, and I do believe in God, and I believe in love, excellence. I've tried to adhere to a lot of it, and I'm human, so I fall from it. But me personally, I think excellence is doing your very best, but doing it above what someone else says your best is, because someone else can see you doing a multitude of things, just say on your job, and they're like, oh, she awesome at that, she the best at that. But that's their vision of you. I think internally, you have to define the best. And for me, that is reaching above anything that anyone else can ever see with their eyes. A prime example, and he know I love my daughter to death. That's my life. That's my greatest accomplishment to date that I know of. And I believe just being a mom, there's a level of excellence to being a mom. And it's not just about you providing for a child, or, you know, the basics that parents do. I think it's going above and beyond that to where you can, you know, people say, oh, I know my child, but do you really know your child? Can you really read them just in looking at them? And you can look at them and say, I know this going on. To me, that's a level of excellence in parenting when you can kind of foresee your child's future to a certain degree. You know the mistakes they're going to make and you want to step in and stop them before they make them. But, you know, children being children, they won't let you. But from a professional standpoint, I think excellence is always, I won't say, it's just being extremely over the top good. I mean, I'm not going to curse, but I'm the SH, you know, that type of excellence. You know, that's how I view it. In my role, I'm in post-secondary education, and in every role that I've been in, I've wanted to be the best person that has ever been in that role. Mm-hmm. Not because I wanted to outshine anybody. It's because I know the level of excellence that I bring to anything that I do. And that's in your relationships. If you're going to be with somebody, be the best person they've ever been with.
That's right.
So for me, that's how I see excellence. Be the best that you can in any situation you're in around anyone that you're with. My G babies will tell you, and I'm called TT because I'm not that old to be no grandma. Okay. But I want to be the best TT I can be to my G babies, but it might be a little different to my godchildren. But I'm the best godmother I can be to them in comparison to someone else, although I never compare myself. But for excellence, I think you need to give it 100% to the 10th power. So that when you go back and you look at something you've done, you can say, oh yeah, I was just, you know, because you know you did the best you could do. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it.
See, I like how you put that, because one thing that I like that you said straight up, you said, it's giving the best that you can give. And I think that that's something important to say, because I think a lot of times, especially in 2020, we got a lot of the, we have a lot of the Facebook and what's the other one? The other social media?
Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat.
You got all of these different social medias and everybody's comparing themselves to what they see people do. Amanda, she's on her kick with the healthy living and the working out and stuff like that. And it's funny because she would talk about, okay, my workout, this person is doing that. I see that person doing that. And then she started receiving the same accreditation. She started receiving the same applause from other people saying, I see you doing your thing on social media. So I think excellence, one thing, and I think it plays a role. It's about keeping the balance, because excellence is about focusing on yourself and doing yourself. But you can also not comparing yourself to let other people dictate what you do, but you can also inspire yourself, kind of like what I was talking about, what Amanda is doing when it comes to working out online, or even working out period, and using the online as motivation. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy, I think that's a huge point when it talks about you doing your best. Hey, my cousin is on here, he was on here, but when we just like you said, in relationships, I'm gonna do what I gotta do to be the best that you've ever experienced. Because if you lose me, and my uncle said this a lot of times, when you ain't with me, you gonna remember me.
Yes, like, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
So I mean, I definitely get that. I definitely get that. So in saying that, with that being a definition, because I think that a lot of people think when they hear the word excellence, there's always a stigmatism. Just like there's positive things, there's always comes a stigmatism with the word excellent. Do you see any stigmatism coming from it? Like some people, like what I mean by it is, some people think excellent means you got to be perfect. So how would you speak to that? Like in a sense where, as soon as they say excellence or something like that, that means you got to be perfect. What would you say to people with that mindset?
I would say, throw it out the back of your mind because, nobody is perfect, but the man above. So for you to think that you have to be perfect at anything that you do, I think is a disservice to yourself because mm-hmm. I think you putting yourself down before you have a chance to move up. Mm-hmm. You're blocking, I always say, stop blocking your blessings. You blocking, you moving forward in your own mind. You're not even giving haters the opportunity to do that because you're stopping yourself. So I think people need to take a look at themselves. And I'm always about self-evaluation. You can't allow society, and you mentioned it with social media. So many people live through society. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to look at social media, look at something that's inspiring you to improve you to do better. Like you mentioned my daughter, and she's inspired by her virtual trainer or other people, you know, and that made her push up her level of excellence because she got it in her. Mm-hmm. She just decided, oh, I see them doing them. And now she wants to live healthy and keep her body together. Now, nothing was wrong with her body, but, you know, she wanted to improve it and she's doing excellent, but mm-hmm. she looked at people to inspire her and not people who wanted to, for lack of a better word, put you down. Mm-hmm. Oh, you fat. Oh, you shouldn't eat that. Oh, you know, so she didn't surround herself with those individuals. Well, look at them per se. And she's not around those individuals in her life either. So I think people need to first look at who you around, who may be
good,
stopping you from moving forward. Who might, hopefully not, but they could be jealous of you in some way and don't want to see you move forward in an excellent manner. So don't think excellence is just, oh, everybody's perfect, because again, no one isn't, but it's your level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone should have their own, I mean, there's a definition in the dictionary, yes, but have your own personal definition of what excellence is to you. And then you won't feel like somebody is putting you down in some way, because their level of excellence, it's not going to be what yours is. I mean, I know me personally, people say I walk into a room and people just gravitate to me and want to talk to me and say hi and think, and I don't know if that's just my face, you know, or just my demeanor. I'm just nice that way. You know, I don't look for the worst in people. I look for the best, mm-hmm. even though a lot of times it's come up to bite me, you know, but it didn't stop me from still thinking that way.
That's right.
Because that's the level of excellence in me to always see the best in people. So don't think excellence is bad and you got to reach somebody else's level. Your level is your level and no one can change that for you. Only you can either raise it or lower it. And that doesn't mean that you're not excellent because you lowered it some. You're not lowering your standards. You're lowering the level of excellence that you're putting towards whatever it is that you're doing at that moment, because you can go do something else and raise the bar. So,
right,
how I look at it.
Well, that's a really good point, because, and like I said, I like the fact, and first off, if you just now joining us, this beautiful, amazing woman that's on my show, this is the beautiful one. This is the mother of my wife. This is Miss Tisha Hardy. She has the BA in organizational behavior. She has a master's in business administration, and she has the mentality of excellence. And that's why I really wanted her on the show, because just as we just talked about with excellence, it's not meaning that you got to be perfect, but it's you pushing yourself, in a nutshell of what we talked about so far, is you pushing yourself to be the best that you can, whether it's excellence in parenting and professionalism and relationship. And that's what we just talking about. She's talking about her amazing daughter, the love of my life, Mrs. AJ. She's talking about her and how she carries a level of excellence in what she does. I'm really proud of her. We just celebrated a couple weeks ago her getting her associate's degree, and we celebrating the fact that she's about to start on her bachelor's degree. But even in that brings up a really good point. Because it's funny, because I remember when we first met and everything, and people feel like, you know what, school ain't for me. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I felt like, yeah, school ain't for me. But what happened was, what I wanted to do and what I started perspiring to do or to be, it made me open up the door to have to go to school. Even though I felt like school ain't for me, I felt like I needed to in order to be where I needed to be. And she says the same thing. In order for her to accomplish what she wanted to accomplish, even though she felt like school wasn't for her, she felt like the obtaining certain degrees will open up certain doors, which takes me to a good, which opens up a good question. How does excellence, how did excellence for you, Mama T, how did excellence help you put yourself in position for what you want to do? I know I didn't mean to just throw this at you. I should have texted you the message first.
No, it's okay. Let's see. For me personally, and again, everything I share is from a personal experience. It was my life experience. Individuals in my family and what they did or didn't do made me begin to create a level of excellence for myself, because I didn't have this. And honestly, as I get older, I think I'm raising the bar for myself on that level of excellence. But as a young teenager, and I was a teenage mom, so my level of excellence wasn't to that level yet. So some things, I would say some people first that helped me to begin to see that there was more to life than what I was actually living and what I needed to do to raise the bar for myself and for my child, which school was always something I knew I would achieve, because I was the L's, which y'all call L square, square seven, whatever y'all used to call them. I was a nerd, I guess. So school was always for me. I didn't necessarily want to rush and go to school because I had a child. So I felt like I need to work. I need to be able to provide. But I think knowing the level of excellence was my dad. And my parents were divorced. But my dad was still that man. And a lot of things he persevered through, despite the challenges and obstacles, began to show me what excellence looks like. Now, granted, it was from a man and not a woman, so I had to change some things around. I mean, he was in the military, and initially I signed up for that, and I had a little girl. So that kind of changed that, but that made me, you know, do a little detour, but it was okay, because my level of excellence in going to the military, I had a plan. I was going to be captain something. But then I had a detour. So I was like, okay, well, what's your next move? So watching my dad was one, but then I was fortunate to meet some older women. When I was younger, always somehow I gravitated to older women who were 20 to 30 years older than me. And they talked to me, and they taught me a lot because I was willing to listen. Now, a lot of time I was at happy hour with some of them, you know, but a lot of things come out of people when they've had a cocktail or two. But honestly, I learned from them. I learned how to navigate in a business world, in a job, and how your skills relate to what job that you can be successful in. And so for me, learning from those women and looking at my dad and some other members in my family or my circle, began to create excellence. And then once I started really reading the Bible, and I don't understand all of it, I still don't understand it all now, but the parts that I understood and learned how to get involved in my life just changed the level of excellence for me and what I needed to do to get to certain levels in my life. So
That's good.
In terms of helping me, again, I think it's all internal on how you view your surroundings and take what you see and apply it to your life, either in a positive way or a negative way, to help you reach that level of excellence for you to, you know, be successful in whatever it is that you're trying to be successful at.
Well, you definitely taking that and you taking that you taking the question and you really did put your personal spin. And that's all we were asking about, is making sure we put our personal spin, because what I want the viewers to know who's watching, me and the greatest mother-in-law ever, what I want them to understand from our conversation is that excellence can be a mindset. Excellence is a way of life, but it's also putting action to what you're thinking about. It's not a perfect formula. Excellence is not a perfect formula. And it doesn't, and we want to break that stigmatism so that we can, because what tends to happen with stigmatisms is it pushes people away. It scares people. It makes them nervous. It makes people avoid certain things. So we want to get rid of the stigmatism behind excellence, which it shouldn't be any, but there is stigmatism that you got to be perfect. We want to get rid of that, but also motivate, encourage that you can pursue what you want to do. Like, I'm unapologetically Christian, first and foremost. And then after that, I'm unapologetically Black. I'm unapologetically African American. Now, that does not take away any love, because if I look at my Christian foundation first, it's not about race when you're giving love to each other. But then we also got to know our history in order for us to progress and go into the future. So that's why I really function. And I think that they both can coincide with each other without conflicting with each other. In saying that, I believe that we have some of the most talented, some of the most creative, some of the most innovative ideas possible. From the parts of the pig that didn't nobody want, look at the delicacies we make. Now, I wouldn't go that far because I don't eat enough. But no, I mean, it is. I mean, from the parts of the, like, we took that from old pig skin and certain ropes and stuff like that. We're able to make instruments and drums. Like, we are some of the most creative, some of the most innovative, some of the most talented people. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting into the 12-21 situation, because that's what all that mess.
Please don't go there.
You're not gonna go there, because I'm not going there. That's not what I'm saying. But mm-hmm. I do believe that we, as a people, have to. We got a lot to display. I'm gonna be honest. I love Amanda always talk about me, because we was driving through East Cleveland, and I seen somebody. Their rearview mirror was, their side mirror was broken off. They didn't have it. But I saw what they did. They took a mirror from a dollar store and attached it to, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the innovation. Like, I seen somebody, and I'm not promoting it, but I seen somebody who tried to figure out a way to smoke, and they didn't have nothing. So they turned the apple into a bong. Like the creative, the innovation. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not promoting turning apples into bongs.
Right.
But at the same time, I do push for the level of excellence, that creativity that we have. And you said something, and it's what I want. I said all of that to lead to this next point, because you said something that actually, that piqued my interest in how you can take, how you can allow excellence to help you in hard times, in challenging times, in adversity. I've had certain situations, and I wish, this is some of the stuff that I hope my children can pick up from me. I try to make it out to where my children don't have to stress or worry about finances or what bills taking, making sure they don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. And in doing that, I've created a situation where they're very comfortable. In the same sense, when I started feeling bad, like, I didn't allow them to get that hardness that they needed. Like, if you like fighting all day, if you fight all day, eventually a fighter, his knuckles and stuff like that harden up because of him punching and stuff like that. So I felt like I was doing a disjustice to them, but I'm not pressed or worried about it, because I feel like all in all, there is a higher power. There's a creator who can bring it all to fruition. So I'm not stressed about it, but I did want to touch on the simple fact that how going through stuff, how challenges, how hardships, how failures, even failures can push us, how excellent can take us to a whole different level. Can you please speak to any experience that you might have, or any observations that you might have as far as how excellence can get you over the threshold of disappointments?
Ooh, Well, you, well, whew. I mean, there's been so many for me personally, but again, I got to preface this with, I think it's your mindset first. Mm-hmm. I think if you don't go into a situation with a certain mindset, then you're not going to even see that excellence got you over that hump.
Mm. Okay.
But for me, an example of my daughter being a teenage mom, that was not something I envisioned. Again, I had a plan. I wrote down a plan. And when I found out I was having a little one.
Oh, it's all good. We can talk about that on here. I'm a product of a teen mother. My mom was 13, and I'm not telling people why to get pregnant at young age. But I need people to understand that it's a value within that.
Okay.
Oh, now, don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So being a teenage mom, getting pregnant at 17. Now, granted, I had her at 18. I graduated from high school. But I felt that was a complete failure for me because I had already set out that I was going into the military. I planned on how I was going to get that degree and get here and get here. So when I had my daughter and I had somebody in my ear that was negative that says you're going to be just like your mama living in the projects and on public assistance because you're having kids as a teenager, because my mom had me at 17. Mm-hmm. And so immediately I'm feeling failure because I'm like, man, I'm having this baby. I am living in the projects. I'm not finished. I finished high school, but my plan was to go to college and within the military, they could pay for it. So I'm wondering how I could pay and make everything work. So I felt like a complete failure. And personally, I don't believe in depression, but something was going on. I don't believe it was depression because I had a little one to look after. So I didn't have time to feel sad. I had to figure out how me and her going to survive. But to me, that was one of my worst failures. When I looked at it differently, I said it wasn't a failure having her. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Because having her made me say, hey, you wanted to go to college, then still figure out how to go to college. You want to not live in the projects, then figure out how you're going to get you the two of you out of the projects. Mm-hmm. So the failure that I thought I had actually turned out to be a blessing, and then it made me excel. So that's where my level of excellence came in, because my mindset, granted, I always been at that level of excellence. I was on a roll in school. But once I felt the failure of having a kid out of wedlock, still living in the same place where that wasn't my plan, I felt defeated. Mm. But then when I say your mindset, my mind was like, looking at this like a chocolate child, a man? Oh, no. Uh-uh. And I excelled because I began to create my next move on how I could accomplish the next phase of my life, not my whole life, just that next phase. How do we not live in the projects? What you do to get out of that situation? How do you not feel like you less than when you got people in your ear telling you that? Mm-hmm. And these are people who supposedly love you, but then you got people who in your same circle who became a teenage parent and like, girl, you all right? You can get you a place here, you know, like everybody else. And they want you to be substandard and mm-hmm. be at that level when that's not what you had envisioned for yourself. So I think to overcome that, you have to really, again, take a look at self-evaluation and say, I can do this regardless of my circumstances. And that was one failure that I think I overcame. And then the next one happens. So in life, we all know you're going to have some obstacles that's going to knock you down. It's about what do you do to get back up? And granted, you might not jump back up. You might have got to be on your knees for a minute while you're there, pray a little bit, then get on up.
There you go.
And let me move forward a little bit with this. But I think failures allow you to see your potential, and that potential allows you to create your level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And then as you live, you elevate that level of excellence. For me, I'm not all the way there yet. When I get there, I'm probably going to be deceased by that time. Mm-hmm. But that's because of what I feel I'm capable of doing. And then again, obstacles come. I can share now, which I have never done this before, but breast cancer came. We had no reason why. We still don't know why I ever got it. But that was a failure that, one, made me question God, which I've never done in my life. So I was at the lowest point ever when you question the man above. But that failure allowed me to see that life is more than just this everyday, you know, get up, go to work, come home, all of that. It's about, what are you doing here now? Who are you helping? And how are you moving forward without continuing to look back? Mm. And so for me, that's what I had to do. I mean, granted, it's a health thing. So you're going to continue to look a little bit. Mm. But it allowed me to share my story with others. It allowed me to help others. It allowed me to, a lot of my friends never got mammograms. Now they do. Mm. A lot of people, you know, I share my story. They're like, you should write a book. No, I'm just sharing this with you. So hopefully you never go through with it. That's share right. with your mother, your sister, your best friend. Mm. And don't let that become a failure to you. Because it can. And many people get diagnosed with whatever. And they fall short, and the level of excellence they could have had, they totally lose it and think they can't get it. But again, that's when you gotta say, this is not the level that I'm destined to be. So step it up.
This ain't it. And that I think that's so true. Once again, if you're just now joining us, I am sitting on here with the amazing, the wonderful, the very intellectual, the one who's stepping up. Oh, so many different levels, and she also brought me the most amazing woman that I know, my mother-in-law, Mama T, Tisha Hardy. I really appreciate the conversation that's going on, because you just hit on a lot of points with what you just said. You talked about, you talk about something that's passionate to me, like you said, you came up in a project. You know, I grew up on 59th and Huff over there on 59th and Huff. We was always at the Salvation Army. I grew up on 65th in Quimby. The house, I think they might have tore down the house now. I can't remember. If anybody on here can remind me, let me know if they took down the house in 6015 Quimby or not. Let me know. But I grew up in a hood. We grew up in the same type of environment. We grew up in the same type of mentality. And I think, my problem is when people look down on people who grew up in certain neighborhoods just because of the neighborhood that you grew up in. When people tend to look at you and think that you ain't gonna become nothing because of where you came from, that you're a product of where you came from. So that's all that you can produce. That's an issue to me. That's why I want to make, that's why I'm trying to show off the way I'm showing off. It ain't got nothing to do with me personally, but it's because of the passion and the director that God have put in me to make sure that even though I came from Huff, this is not a Huff mentality. I mean, this is not what y'all used to be in a Huff mentality. I'm recreating the Huff mentality and showing you what the people from Huff can do. Just like you showing them what the people from down the way, what the people from
Garden Valley.
That's what I'm talking about. So rep your hood, but
Garden Valley.
From no matter where you're
up the hill, not down the hill by Sideway either. We're gonna be correct with it.
Up the hill, my fault. Not down. Okay, but see, still there's people from there. My father went to East Tech. My uncles and aunties went to East High. My mother went to Martin Luther King. You know, it's but the mentality of the people, that's what I love so much. I feel like it's just like food. I don't care how good you cook food, you always need some season. And that's what we get from where we come from. We get that right. Season. So I hate when people, and I say that because hate is a huge word. Hate is
a strong word. I try to eliminate that one from my vocabulary.
Personally. I agree. But see, when I say that, I really do mean that. It irritates me to the highest level when people look at people and what people are going through and then try to speak down to them. That's why I really want you to be comfortable speaking about your excellence in mothership and parenting, because because what you did, like, even though you had a child at a young age, I'm gonna be honest with you, my mother, she's Regina Jordan. She's one of the most talented and amazing women that I know as well, because she had me when she was 13. But she still graduated high school. My mother got her associate's degree. I was talking to my mother on Christmas. I'm like, what you up to, Ma? And she's building a doll house. My mother, if you go on her website, this one, my mother does so much. She learned just from reading. I remember my mother had like 4 or 5 Plymouth Acclaims, the same exact car, because she had the book. And she worked on that car by herself. Anybody who know Regina Jordan, they know that's the truth. She also went to school for to work on homes. She sanded her whole floor, painted it polyurethane because of what she read. She can read a book and she can build and take apart stuff. So those are the products of what we come from. So when we got people on here looking from different hoods and different places and stuff like that, I really, it irritates my soul when people look at people from East Cleveland or whatever they look at and they look down at them.
And they look down.
And that's why I really appreciate, that's why I say, and I was talking to somebody last night, one of my podcasts, another one that I'm going to do is going to be excelling through the struggle or something to that extent.
Okay.
But just progression through the struggle or something like that. But it is a progress. I think you got to go through certain things because it's been a hard times and I've been through a lot, just like I know you've been through a lot. If we could sit here and trade, we could talk. I'm pretty sure anybody who's listening can say, I can sit and trade stories with y'all too.
Right.
But the thing about it is, I think that those stories is what makes us who we are. And it also develops a level of excellence.
Yes.
In saying that, I know I'm talking a lot. Once again, like I said, I'm on here with my mother-in-law, Mama T, Tisha Hardy. She's an amazing woman. I really love the level of excellence that she brings to the table. She brings to my wife. And the things that you have taught my wife is what she brought to our household. Even with me, you know, one of the reasons why I got my bachelor's and then went on to get my master's is because of her, because of the motivation that she has done. I'm watching her. She pushed my son, who didn't think that he was going to graduate high school. Now he's graduating high school. He was in college. He got a great job. He's about to move out. I love the fact that I got a son who has the mentality to be ready to step out on his own. That's a proud father moment.
Yes.
In saying that, there's certain things that so we talked about what shouldn't be, the stigmatism of excellence. Mm-hmm. What I want to know now is, can you tell me the traits of excellence? What does excellence look like? You know what that dude looked like with that you like. I mean, if you like a dude, he tall, he handsome, he dark skin, he light skin, he got long hair, goatee, whatever the case may be. So if you can, I'm just giving you time to think. But can you tell me some of the traits that you think of when you can look at a level, when you look at excellence? And just for me, I must just throw out one trait of excellence is a never die attitude.
Okay.
So, I mean, just to give an idea. So what's some traits that you can look at when it comes to traits of excellence?
You hit it on the head. You said never die, said never give up. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a never give up. Never. Well, you know, like Trump, don't want to give up. Don't get to that level.
It's okay.
Don't get to that level. You just can't concede at all. Yeah. But
sometimes you got to concede.
Exactly. You do. Now, exactly what you're saying that is never give up. But when you see that it's to a level where you're never going to get to the level of excellence of doing that, whatever it is, then you need to concede. But it's not a failure because you tried and you just got to a point where you said all of my trying is blocking me from doing the next thing that I can do. Because and I'll say that as an example with math. I'm not a math whiz. My daughter loved math. She didn't get that from me. Okay. I wish I'd have got some of that from her. But when I got to a level of math and I was like, I don't get this. Do I need it for this degree? Because I'm not taking no more. Okay. I got a C in it. That's my best. Mm-hmm. At this particular subject, because it's not something I'd excel at. Now, when I wanted to get all A's, I went and got a tutor and paid money to get that A. But that was because I wanted my GPA to be a certain level, but it wasn't something that I needed to do. So I think one trait is never give up on whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. But another is be true to self and honest. Mm.
That's good.
And whatever it is that you desire to do to achieve excellence, because I think trying to trick people and do dishonest things, you may excel and be excellent, but I think at some point you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. And you're going to fall hard. And that's going to be one of those failures that you may be stuck in for a minute. Mm-hmm. And for those Christians, it'll feel like God whooping you a long time because... Yeah,
enough of that.
Because of how you got to where you got to get that level of excellence. So I think, you know, don't give up, but be honest and true to who you are and the character you bring to whatever situation you're in. I know my level of character. I know who I am. No one can take that from me. And that's the reason no one can stop me from things I want to do, because you don't know what's in me and you don't know the level of excellence I know I can achieve. So regardless of what you say or do, you're not going to stop me. So I think you got to have passion. You got to have that passion to, and I always take it back to succeeding, but don't think succeeding is monetary and don't think succeeding is accomplishing something, because it doesn't have to be that. You can be succeeding just in relaxing. I mean, I don't know if anyone's on break from work, but being able to sit in a chair and just close your eyes and relax, that's a level of success that you didn't have all these couple months. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about a trait, I think a trait changes based on the individual too, because I may say something is my trait that may totally not work for someone else. But I do think one of the key traits is don't give up. Don't give up on your, I'll just say, don't give up on your dreams, whatever that is. And I'm a reader, so I'll tell anyone, always research.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The knowledge is out there. Once you have it, nobody can take it from you. You don't have to have no degree to have no knowledge. Because as L. Wander mentioned, we as a Black culture, we're creative.
Very.
We create a lot of things out of nothing. Now, they say make a dollar out of how many cents? I don't remember the whole saying, but that Black people do it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So
keep in mind that, you know, your trait may be different from somebody else, but you'll reach the same level of excellence because excellence is individual. It's not you comparing yourself. You're not on no team of excellence. Unless it's your family, then y'all created a certain level of excellence as a family. But still, individually, you're going to have your own. So
that's good.
Keep your mind moving. Mm-hmm. If you stagnant, you're not reading. I'm not talking about just reading some blogs and stuff like that. Read something that's going to elevate your brain and your mind to stimulate you to want a level of excellence.
You got to. You got to.
I mean, those are just a few traits.
And that's good. But
again, I think too, another trait is knowing your inner circle. Because if you surround your people with surround yourself with people of excellence, you begin to elevate in excellence without even realizing it, because you're doing a lot of the same things the people in your inner circle are doing. If you hanging around with Jack and Jack always at the bar and he late for work and you with him, you probably gonna be late for work too. You know, so,
and they say,
you know, keep that in mind too. Your inner circle, your desire to move forward in whatever it is that you want to move forward in, and be honest. Mm-hmm. Be honest in whatever move you're making. And I'm not saying being a liar. I'm saying be honest to yourself. Some things you might set to do, you can't do. I would love to be a nurse and I got the mentality for it to pass the courses, but I don't have a stomach for the blood and the needles. So that's not really something I can be excellent in.
I understand.
So be true to yourself and what you can achieve and what you can't achieve. And not just think about the monetary piece of something too, but just from a personal family standpoint, be true to you, because your family see it too. And that'll make some of your family members, I have people call me in my family, and I forget they in my family because I haven't talked to them in that long, but they come and asking me for advice, and I'd be one like, I didn't even talk to you and I don't know when, and you're asking me for advice, because they've seen a level of excellence either through my daughter or someone else that I'm close to, and to me they want a piece of it because you calling me asking me for advice.
That's good. See, I like the fact that, first off, just like you said, you stated that excellence, there's the personality and the traits of excellence can adapt based on what you're going through or who you are. And that's true, because like with us, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, you might not believe this, but when I was a kid coming up, you know, I was very quiet, I was very shy, I was very mild mannered.
No, I know. I don't believe it.
But I'm gonna tell you what transition. Being overseas transitioned my mentality. It made me more, because before I was avoiding conflict. Being overseas brought out something that was in me. It taught me my potential, and when it comes to not taking mess. And that's where I stand at. So now my mild manner is because I know my levels. I know what level I can get to. And that's kind of what you just were explaining. And I think it's true. I think it's very important for us to know who we are, know what we are, know what we're about, and be honest with ourselves. Don't try to, I know I'm not a professional chef. So I'm not gonna go in here and try to, I'm not gonna go into a restaurant and tell them and try to sell myself that this is what I'm gonna do because I know I'm not capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. Now, I can hold my own when I'm making dinner, whatever the case may be, but at the same sense, that's not my specialty. That's not what I should be flowing in. So I agree with you. You do have to know you do have to be realistic with yourself. You said something earlier, and we almost about to wrap up.
Okay.
But you said something earlier about when it comes to depression. And I really want to speak to this because this Christmas time, I mean, it's the holiday season. We just getting out of Christmas. We passed Thanksgiving. We're going into the new year. So, you know, new year, new me is about to happen. Yeah. Everybody about to have all of these New Year's resolutions and these New Year's promises and New Year declarations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I also want to, me working with the veterans, I'm a veteran myself. I have been in.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But I have experienced depression on myself. Mm-hmm. I've experienced postpartum depression with Sharia. Mm-hmm. I have seen what you went through last year when your mom passed away. I've watched what Amanda has been through when it came to Christine passing away. I watched what my children been through when Sharia passed away. I watched what my mother been through when her daughter passed away. So I can understand the statement that you said when you said, I don't believe in depression because, and correct me if I'm wrong.
But I said, I personally know it exists.
That's what I was about to say.
I personally don't.
Yes.
For me.
That's exactly what I was about to allude to.
Yeah.
You were saying it, you said, I can't accept it within my life.
Exactly.
So that's why I wanted to touch back on it because, you know, sometimes we can say certain things and it comes off the wrong way. But I wanted to make sure I open up the door because I know what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Please clarify that. I've helped a lot of friends yes. who've gone through it. For me personally, as you said.
So I'm opening. It's for you. That's for you. That's what I wanted to open up.
Thank you for giving me that opportunity because right now, and, you know, again, working in education, not just that, everyone going through COVID, people losing their jobs yes. and homes and wondering how you're going to make your next meal for your kids. A lot of people are dealing with depression. It's real. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of help out there for people. But me personally, I can't accept it, as you said. And you know, it's funny. I've never used the word, I can't accept it. I just kept saying, mm-hmm. I don't believe in it.
Yeah. But no, I get it.
No, I've been saying it my whole life. I mean, I think it stemmed from my childhood and a lot of things that I dealt with. I just felt like whenever I call myself saying I got to deal with this, everything turned out worse for me. Mm-hmm. When a point I said, this don't exist for me, everything turned out better. And that started when I was a young child. I was about 6 years old. So for me, depression does not exist. It's not something I can ever accept in my heart, in my mind, in my body, not me personally. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I think it will be the death of me. It is where I will lose all of me. There will be no more Tisha Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could ever overcome it. And maybe because I've always said it's not for me. Now, when my mother died, yes, I was sad. And I was crying. I was grieving. But I don't think I went through a level of depression with breast cancer. I had my moments. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, did I have my moments. But I couldn't sink into a level of depression. I had tubes hanging out of me, and I was still on my laptop working. Because I said, this will not conquer me. So personally, I don't believe in it. And again, I think it's because it will be the death of me. I will not exist if I ever allow myself to get to that level. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could ever come out of it. So I have to keep that mindset. So please, if I offended anyone, I apologize because I realize depression is real. And that is not mm-hmm. what I was saying to anyone.
And we know that. That's why I wanted to.
Thank you for allowing me to clarify that.
No problem. You know I got you, Mama T. You know
I'm like,
you said something that really hit home. And the thing about it is, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, especially like I said, because I realized how much it's out here right now. And my thing is, the thing about it, certain things hit different when you came up around certain things. To me, I'm be honest, if something happened with the when we got a bad snowstorm or we got a bad rain pouring down, or whatever the case may be, and then knock our lights out, I'm cool. I'm chill. Me too. Relax. So I watched my kids look when our lights out and we didn't have Wi-Fi, my kids son, he act like it was the end of the world.
It's the end of the world for them because it's what they're accustomed to.
Exactly. So that's why I say that, because we don't want to, I agree, you know, we the mentality that you have, and that's why I want you to be on here, because that never die attitude, that never die mentality is what pushes you to the level of excellence. Even when, I'm going to be honest with you, now this is just what I see, Mama T.
Okay.
Even when depression tries to come at you and knock on your door and try to say, hey, look, let me mess with you, your mentality, your level of excellence cannot allow that to enter. And you push it away at all costs. And that's what I think that's fundamental in what we do, because some people, and I'm gonna be honest, I had to go to a psychiatrist at one point in time. When me and Sharia separated for a year and a half, I had to go to a psychiatrist, and that's what helped me. When Sharia passed away, I had to go to a psychiatrist, and I also had to make sure for my children's well-being that they did. I'm not saying so I understand the strength behind that. What I believe that you are saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're saying do what you have to avoid being submerging yourself in depression.
Yes. So you have to, not to be overcome by it.
Yes. So yes. That's, I like that. That's why I wanted to make sure, because I agree with it. And I know your heart. I know where you at with certain things.
Yes. Trust me, I believe in it. My daughter was afraid of death at 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I told her dad, because she went to sleep and woke up and ran in there, mommy, mommy, I thought you died like Granny Joyce. And she was frantic for weeks. And I told her dad, we took her to a psychologist. He's like, well, what? She 10. We black. We got insurance. She going, okay? Because she needed it. That's now, right. If I'd have been in that mentality of me, I'm like, nah, must have been something my aide made that weird dream happen. Let me try it again tonight. You know, but that's me, but that's because I feel like, that can't happen to me. Mm-hmm. But with Amanda, I saw it. So mm-hmm. I did it. And when you mentioned Christine, I asked her, I said, man, do you think you need to get some therapy? Because that's your best friend. Mm-hmm. That's someone you talk to every day. You know, and I know how she dealt with me and breast cancer. So, mm-hmm. and I always say, I thank God for you if something was to happen to me. I know she'd be okay. But prior to her being married, that was not the case. I didn't feel that she would be okay. And I kept saying, Lord, let me live long enough for her to get that husband to be that support. So help is out there. Yes, use it.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Like you said, for me, I feel I can overcome it. And I do I try everything. I'm a write everything down person. I write down 10 things. Try this. One of these things is going to work. Mm-hmm. And you're going to overcome this. So in a system, you getting all down because you can't afford to do it. I can't.
Well, see, I know one thing I know about you, Mama T, is that you have the mentality to self-analyze to the point where you can go through your own head, you can go through your own self and start pinpointing, okay, Dad, that's where I'm, okay, and start working through your own self. And that, I think that's a huge trait. I'm trying to be like that when I grow up.
I said self-evaluation.
It is self-evaluation.
You talk about level of excellence. Self-evaluate yourself.
So now, just the FYI for anybody, and I know it's crazy, but this hour just flew by. This don't make no sense how fast this time just went past. But I do want to tell you, I really do appreciate you so much. I really appreciate the person that you are. I really appreciate the person that you have been to my wife, to Amanda. I really appreciate the person you have been to my children, because you have been an amazing G mama. And you have really shown me to step up my level of excellence, which is what makes me pursue on a regular basis to keep it pushing, to keep it going. Okay. Once again, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Wonder Why with L Wonder. We have been talking about excellence this week. I appreciate one more time my special guest, my Mama T, Tisha Hardy, and everybody next week. Be sure to tune in next week because we're going to continue the conversation with excellence, and we're going to talk about, and I'm going to have a special guest on here next week, and we're going to be talking about excellence in business. So keep it up. Keep tuning in next week at 4 o'clock. We out.
Happy New Year, everyone.